This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. It has been over 40 years since the Michigan chemical company Valsicol made a catastrophic mistake. The St. Louis, Michigan company shipped a toxic flame retardant chemical to the Farm Bureau Service instead of a nutritional supplement. That chemical was PBB, polybrominated biphenyl. PBB was mixed into livestock feed, and it took a year to discover that mistake. So millions of Michigan residents ate contaminated milk, meat, and eggs. Jane Ann Nyerges was one of the farming families whose lives were changed forever by the PBB contamination. Jane Ann is with us now. Tell us about your family's farm.
Well, we have a small farm in Michigan where we had cows, chickens, pigs, horses, rabbits, and we did cash crop. We grew hay and corn, wheat, and we just really lived off the farm. We grew a garden there, we ate the vegetables out of the garden, and we were pretty self-sustaining.
And tell me, how old were you when the first signs that something was wrong began to be apparent?
I was about 7 or 8.
Okay. And what were those signs? How did the family first realize something wasn't right with the livestock?
The family started to realize something first was wrong with the chickens. Their feet began to really turn inward. It was hard for them to walk around. They didn't have a lot of meat on them when we cooked them. You know, they were pretty much just skin and bones. And the eggs, they started to taste kind of funny, and some of my siblings wouldn't eat them because they tasted funny.
And, of course, as a child, you don't know everything going on, you know, conversations with parents and what the big people are talking about. But your farm was among those quarantined. Tell me about when you came home from school.
Well, when I came home from school that day, I was walking up the driveway and, you know, you just become used to hearing certain sounds. And when those sounds aren't there, you know something's up. So I was walking up the driveway. I couldn't hear the chickens. I, you know, wasn't seeing any of the cows. And I went into the hen house, and there were no chickens. So I ran into the house, and I saw my mom sitting there crying. And I said, "Mom, where are all the chickens?" And she said some men came and killed them because they were sick.
And killed them with?
Baseball bats.
Wow.
I later learned in talking to my oldest brother, who was in high school at the time, he was a senior, that he had to stay home that day and help kill the chickens. And he tells me that to this day he still has nightmares about having to kill the chickens with the baseball bats.
And then what happened to your livestock?
Some of them, you know, were killed off, and some of them were okay. So, like the pigs we were able to keep, they weren't contaminated because we only fed them corn. The others, you know, they were buried on the back of the farm. They just dug a big open pit and just put them in there and covered them up.
I think about the effect on a little girl. And did I understand you used to, it was your job to collect the eggs?
Yes. It was one of my chores to collect the eggs. And so we weren't even allowed to go into the hen house and play or anything after the chickens were gone because of the contamination of the barn itself. So they also dug a hole and just pushed that over and buried it up so we wouldn't go in there.
When did you start experiencing health symptoms?
I personally started experiencing health symptoms that summer we found out about the contamination. I started having seizures. Not a lot at first, but I had my first one that summer. And the doctors just never could come up with an explanation for it. Then as I started to get older, I started to develop hidradenitis. But of course, back then we didn't know what it was either.
And what is that?
Hidradenitis is a rare skin disease in which you develop cysts. They start really deep in your body and they push up to the surface until they rupture.
And you weren't the only one in your family to fight with that, were you?
No, no. I would say about half of my brothers and sisters have hidradenitis. Mm.
And as you look at the more than 4 decades since the PBB contamination happened, Jane Ann, how overall, what have been the effects on your health and your family's health?
We've had a lot of cancer in the family and a lot of fertility issues for the girls. I personally had 10 miscarriages and 4 ectopic pregnancies. My youngest sister, Katie, she couldn't even have a baby at all. So that was a huge for us because we grew up in a large family and we wanted to have large families ourselves. I was able to have one child, my twin sister, very fortunately, had three, and she didn't suffer the same effects as Katie and I, but she had the lowest contamination of all of us.
I'm talking with Jane Ann Nyerges, and her family's farm was right there, really in the epicenter of the PBB contamination that truly is one of the worst chemical contamination stories in history, and it happened in Michigan over 40 years ago. Jane Ann, you've entered a study being done by Emory University. Tell us a little about that.
Sure. When the state of Michigan decided that this really was a large catastrophe and that they needed to follow the farm families, in 1978 they started doing blood draws. And they would periodically send us questionnaires. Eventually it got to the point where the state of Michigan could no longer manage that, and they turned it over to Emory University. Then I was contacted by Emory University asking me to transfer my records so that they could continue to follow my health and the health of my descendants.
Which I'm thinking if it was me, it would at least make me feel like I had a little bit of power in something that was totally out of my control.
Oh, absolutely. I felt like I had just been pulled out of a black hole. And I learned so much in a very short time about the history, the extent of the contamination, and what Emory was looking to do for the people that were involved that I had absolutely no idea of prior. I really want to emphasize that right now, the only funding that we have for research is on fertility. We really need to start expanding and looking at other areas of health impact, but we don't have the funding for that. You know, we really need as many medical records from the registrants as we can get, because what we're planning to do is take all of those paper documents, scan them and load them into an application that will break it down into data parts, and then we can search that and look for like problems among the registrants that might help us determine which areas of research to go to next.
I can hear that you are really hopeful that people who perhaps have not stepped forward but have this in their family history do so.
Absolutely. I think there are a lot of people who rightfully are still angry and are unwilling to cooperate, and I would love to see them put that aside for the benefit of everyone else in the registry and for the benefit of generations to come.
And what's the best way for people to reach out and connect with the study?
Just to go to the Emory University website, and there is a link right there where you can send for information and let them know that you want to register.
I know your parents and other people were told initially that after 10 years that PBB will be out of your bodies. What actually happened?
Nothing. The levels have reduced over time, but we're still carrying it.
And how does that make you feel?
Well, honestly, it makes me feel violated and betrayed, because from what I've learned, the state knew about this contamination much longer than they were willing to admit, and they could have done something sooner. Had they, a lot of people could have avoided being exposed the way they were.
In all these years, from the time this first was discovered and it became apparent on your farm to today, has anyone ever been the face of this to say, Jane Ann, we're sorry?
Oh, no. No, never. And as a matter of fact, I even inquired with a couple of lawyers whose expertise is environmental issues. Mm-hmm. And they told me that the agreements that the farmers signed in the 70s were ironclad, and there was no way that I or any of my descendants would ever be able to get any kind of remuneration or any kind of help from them.
What would matter more to you, a sincere apology and an acknowledgement that terrible things happened to your family? Would that matter actually more than remuneration?
Oh, yes, I think so. And I just think that if there was funding there to help those people who don't have the health coverage they need to address their medical problems, that they could be helped. Because a lot of people just suffer because they don't have the money to seek treatment.
How did life go for your, especially I'm thinking of your mother and your dad, you know, trying to raise their family and be self-sufficient on this farm, and then this catastrophe happens. How were things for them from then on?
It was very difficult. My dad had to leave the farm during the week and a long-haul truck for my uncle just to get by. And my mom, she took a job working as a cashier in a bank, and eventually, when we got older, she became a real estate agent. She did well, but it was just never the same for us after that.
What lessons, Jane Ann, do you hope might have been learned from what happened in 1973 at the Michigan Chemical Company and happened to families like yours?
Well, I think the biggest lesson is that there has to be accountability. You know, that when something happens, there needs to be an immediate response, not just kind of, well, let's wait around and see what the extent of this problem really is. And secondly, I think that we need to take all the information that we can gather from the registrants in the PBB registry, their health information, et cetera, and just really plan for any other future events that could be similar so we have an idea of what to expect long-term from another catastrophe like that. And I'm hoping, you know, that there are some guardrails in place that are going to help prevent such kind of disasters in the future.
Do you have any reason to think those guardrails are in place?
Well, I do think that some of those guardrails are in place because now the EPA exists. But, you know, sometimes companies slack. Accidents still happen.
And lives are changed.
Lives are changed.
Jane Ann, thank you so much for sharing your story with us.
You're welcome.
Jane Ann Nyerges was one of the farming families whose lives were changed forever by the Michigan PBB contamination. All this week, listen for the Environment Report here on Michigan Radio, bringing a special five-part series on the toxic legacy left behind by the Velsicol Chemical Corporation. You can find more on the series at michiganradio.org.